the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in association with Fraser Foods. 25 stores to the southwest and southeast, and a new store opening in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the first week of May, presents Bob Green Today. I'm General Galen Shaw. I'll be your co-host, along with our host, Bob Green. Bob Green Today. Yes, Bob Green Today. Featuring my views and my opinions on a variety of topics that affect all of us in these modern times. Now, as the CEO of a major grocery chain, General Shaw, you can probably well imagine that I'm in touch with people, the average person, on a daily basis.
Well, I would imagine so, yes, with the various people coming in and out of the store. But I suppose you want to touch on...
We're not ready yet. But I thank you very much. The General was going to mention something from this past weekend, which I do want to bring up, General, but I want to let it sink in that as the CEO of a major grocery chain, I do have contact with the average person, and so I feel that I know a little bit more about that individual than perhaps your average media type, which I'm not.
Now, you are a businessman by trade, a merchant.
Well, yes, I'm a merchant, but I don't like to think of myself as some, you know, guy standing on a street corner with, I don't know if you remember, if some of the folks out there grew up back east.
Oh, they had the Italians with the...
Exactly, the vegetable carts. I'm not standing out there with a vegetable cart going, hey, here's the onions, hey, you know, that's a little bit demeaning. And
well, they're very hardworking people.
Yes, they're hardworking people, I'll give you that. But that's not Bob Green. I wear a suit. To work every day. I don't wear an apron. I know a lot of guys will put on the green apron and go down and, hey, can I help you put the mushrooms?
You don't do that.
No, I don't. I don't. I've got a very good crew. My produce manager, Bill Willingsley, has been with me for, well, I don't even know how long he's been with me, a long time. Or maybe it's not been that long, but it seems like it's been...
a very long time.
A very long time. My dry goods manager... My meat specialist.
Now, what is a meat specialist?
Well, that's what I call it. That's the manager of the meat department. But a lot of people will say, well, it's the meat manager of the meat department. I don't like that. I call him the meat specialist because it is an extremely, extremely high end. I think it's a very specific and vital part of your business, the selling of meats, whether it be poultry, fish, or red meat. And you've got to have a guy that knows his thing, knows what he's talking about. He is indeed your meat specialist. And I've held on to that title, even though we've had complaints from three different women's groups.
Now, why would you have complaints of the...
Well, you know, their minds work in a way... I don't know. They said that they thought it was... It had something to do with... They thought it was degenerate sounding or...
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're the minds of some of these women's groups. And I believe in women's rights, ladies and gentlemen. I want you all out there to know that. I believe in women's rights... I can't tell you how much I believe in women's rights, but I think that a lot of these women's groups, their minds go immediately to some dark and sex-ridden, sex-soaked area of their mind, you know? And I think they've got to lift their minds out of that sewer and put it into the sunlight, well, in this case, the sunlight of Bob Green.
Famous Phil Hendry Show with Bob Green Today. We'll be right back.
Bob Green Today on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, everyone. This is Bob Green, and I am the CEO of Fraser Foods. You know, we've got a fantastic array of stores throughout the Southwest and Southeast. We're headquartered in Buena Park, California. Why don't you come on out and see me at Fraser Foods? We really do pride ourselves on our selection of meats. We have Pacific caught salmon. We have Atlantic caught salmon. We also have our beautiful Apalachicola oysters. We're specializing in our seafood, especially the shellfish this week. And the oysters that we have are so delicious. Some people, and as you know, no seafood is guaranteed. There is no federal inspection of seafood. But I've had customers come in and say, I'll risk having the usual rashes, and some people even break out along the neck. And one lady broke out all around her mouth and her nose. It was bad, but She said, it was worth it, Bob, to have one of your oysters. And I said, have another.
At Fraser Foods, quality is number one, but taste is even more than that.
Fraser Foods, we believe in quality, but we believe it should taste good, too.
Jesus.
What does that mean?
Well, I had no idea.
Anyway, welcome back, folks. Bob Green today here on the Phil Hendry Show. And I do appreciate them having me back. What's the problem?
Well, I had no idea. You had a customer. She broke out with boils and...
She had the blistering. I think... Do you know anything about seafood rashes?
No, I guess I don't.
Oh, they're very common, and they're not... There's nothing wrong with them. They do happen because a lot of people are sensitive to seafood.
Well, I spoke with Phil Hendry once. He told me that he had a... he had an itching rash after, believe it or not, eating some kind of a fish sandwich.
Well, I don't know anything about that. An itching rash, that could be anything. Mr. Hendry, he could have been reacting to some kind of clothing he was wearing. How old was he?
Well, he was very young at the time, in his early 20s.
Well, I'd have to also throw into the mix then whatever contact he's had with another human being, skin on skin. I don't know.
You're not talking venereal disease, are you?
No, I'm saying I don't know. But, and I really don't want to know anything about Mr. Henry's habits, but I am saying that the lady that came in and got a dozen of our beautiful Apalachicola oysters.
Now, where is Apalachicola?
That's Florida. And then we have the Chesapeake oysters, of course. They're world famous. But these Apalachicolas are big, beautiful, luscious oysters. And she had about a dozen. She sat down, she went home and by herself steamed a bucket. Didn't even wait for her family.
She did what? I don't even believe what I just heard.
I know. So let me say it. She bought a bucket of oysters from us at Fraser Foods.
Then what?
Then she took it home, steamed it, sat down at her kitchen table and ate an entire
bucket?
An entire bucket of steamed oysters from Fraser Foods without even waiting for her family. When her husband and kids got home, she was slouched in a chair.
Oh, man.
This is emotional, isn't it?
It's very emotional, and I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. She was slouched in a chair with just half-eaten oysters laying around. It was bad. And she'd broken out. Her lips were all blistered and nose. And when she came to, because she was in a little bit of an oyster shock from the actual allergy.
Yes.
When she came to... She said, you know, something to the effect of, my God, those are the best oysters. I'll take another steam bucket. And they finally had to tell her, no, where she was. And she was very,
Well, it sounded like she was disoriented.
I would say so, yes.
She thought she was back at where, the restaurant?
Well, there was no restaurant. She bought them from me. So I don't know where she thought somebody was going to steam a bucket for her. And I remember when I heard the story, I said to Brew Hinster, I said, I'll steam a bucket for her. And Brew...
Well, that's very childish, don't you think?
I don't know. At the time, it was so shocking, I had to come up with something, and that's what I said. And later, they told me, yeah, because it was relayed back to her. She didn't think it was funny. So the whole thing was actually not good, and so you're right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bob Green. I'm having just a little small talk here with General Shaw. And this is our second Bob Green Today podcast. Now, on the show today, I want to address something that I saw on the television this weekend, and it was with one of my favorite TV anchors. I think she's terrific. I used to see her at Fox, and I see her now on CNN, Allison Camerota.
Yes, she used to be on Fox and Friends, and now does a morning show there with one of the Cuomo boys, right?
Yeah, I think it's Chris Cuomo, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know who the guy... Who's the governor?
Andrew, I think.
Andrew Cuomo. This is the kid brother. I think there's Andrew and there's another one, like Giuseppe. Don't they have one? I'm not trying to be smart, but don't they have at least one of the brothers has a very traditional Italian name?
I don't think so. The father was Mario. Maybe you're thinking of that.
No, I know the father. But I think they have, there's Chris, that's a normal name. Andrew, that's a normal name. But then they have something like Giuseppe Manala, la 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 la, some kind of thing, I don't know. So,
well, I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, I'm just saying that's. I think it's because that's why they are, you know, liberal Democrats, because they identify with that whole, off the boat, whatever you want to call off the boat mentality. But
My point was this.
Well, off the boat mentality is a little demeaning. You know.
Well, hold on for a minute, General. It's.
I apologize.
It's Bob Green today, not General Shaw today.
I understand that, but I can disagree, can't I?
You can disagree, but you don't want to disagree so much that you make me look like I'm dog paddling here.
I understand. So you don't know where to go with that?
I really don't know. When I said what I said, it was very tasteless, and then you came and you wanted to press the point.
I apologize.
Thank you. Now, Alison Camerata, who, by the way, that's, isn't that Italian?
I believe it is, yes, although I can't be sure.
I'm pretty sure. Alison Camerata, that's not either that or it's Portuguese or something. I believe she's Portuguese. And this is the young lady. I've always liked her. She was on CNN today, and I think she revealed something that disappointed me, but it was very important. She revealed, she says, that she was sexually harassed by Roger Ailes, but I believe that what happened was he was, you know, giving her a break. I don't know how to say it.
Well, the thing that happened this morning, she's saying that Roger Ailes said that he'd like to, she really wanted to step up in the news organization.
Yeah, I know. She said, I want you to give me more duties. And she said, he said to her then, well, I'll work closely with you, which means we're going to have to get to know each other better, which means we're going to have to meet each other away from Fox Television in a hotel. She immediately took that to mean there would be some sexual hookup or some sex act taking place in on the floor of a hotel someplace, is what I gathered.
Well, I took that to mean that he wanted to have an affair with her.
Well, I don't know. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that at all.
Well, what do you think it meant?
What I think it meant was he said, let's get out of here, go to a hotel where we don't have to have everybody breathing on us, and I can show you how to become the number one anchor at Fox, or one of the top anchors at Fox.
Well, but when the man says, go to a hotel,
I don't think that he did not expressly say the word sex. Now, some people may say I'm being naive, but I put it to you. If you want to work closely with talent, are you going to do it there at the network, or are you going to find a quiet, secluded area?
What do you mean secluded? What is he doing?
He's working with the talent.
Well, if you're working with the talent,
you're not going to do it around, excuse me, everybody, clear out, I got to do it in the newsroom? So you got to have a classroom.
All right, I understand the classroom part, but when you say secluded,
I'm saying it seems to me that you would want everybody. Now, I grant you this. It sounds and looks a little suspicious, and maybe he does intend at some point to have the sex act
with this Miss Camerata, and that's what she was worried about, because she felt pressured that it may go that way.
All right, well, let's say that it does. Let's say he, Mr. Ailes, has decided that Alison Camerata, and, you know, I got to be very delicate here, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm a man similar to Mr. Ailes. I am in a position of power, similar to what Ailes used to be. Now he doesn't have that, so you could say that I'm higher up than him, and he's sitting at his house. I don't know what he's doing, sitting around in Bermuda shorts. It must be pretty ridiculous, but...
Well, he's got enough money. He's enjoying his retirement.
Yeah, sure, but...
You don't think so?
I don't know. If I were him, I'd feel very much out of the game. But so he's there. I'm here. As a man in a position of power, and you say to a woman like Alison Camerata, who, and I've got to tell you this, because as long as we're talking about Roger Ailes looking like a lump of something that is waste material from a big animal, is the only thing I can say.
All right, well, I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah. As long as we're talking about him, I think we have to say that Alison Camerata ain't the... She ain't Miss America.
Now, Mr. Green...
Well, are you telling me... Do you think she's as good-looking as Gretchen Carlson?
I'm not going to go down that road. That is not very gentlemanly. It is not...
Hold on, General.
No, it's not very gentlemanly. I don't think it's apropos of what we're discussing here. We're discussing the use of power by this man Ailes.
And we're also discussing the use of Ailes by a woman that's not really a 10, maybe a 6.
Come on.
I'm saying. So if I walk into the room and I see Alison Camerata and I say, well, oh boy, this is going to take some work.
And she says, oh, Mr. Green, I'd like to learn everything there is to know about the grocery store business. You don't think that I'm having to sacrifice to tell, you know?
Sacrifice what? You're talking about having to teach this woman.
Right, if I decide that I'm going to have a sexual relationship.
Well, the whole thing to me is not appropriate.
You just put your hand on the microphone.
I apologize. The whole thing to me is not appropriate.
All right. Well, you know, I got to tell you, General, I think I'm being very, generous by even including you in the conversation. I know that you're the co-host, but I'm asking your opinion of these things, and I don't think I really have to.
Well, you know, you don't have to ask me, but you're saying, number one, that Ailes did Allison Camerata a favor by offering to have sex with her and teach her how to be a better broadcaster.
I didn't use the word favor.
Well, you intimated it was like a favor, or don't you think he's having to sacrifice?
Well, yes, all right, I'll go with that, yeah.
And then you're also saying you'd have to be sacrificing something. So you're insulting this young woman. I've seen her. I think she's perfectly lovely.
I didn't say she's not lovely, but...
And by the way, you're 5'5".
We don't need to talk about...
No, you're 5'5". Ailes himself is a lump of... There's got to be 300 pounds of pure fat and nothing more. I don't even think there's anything. I think it's solid fat. There's no organs. There's no internal. There's nothing there. And you're a little man. And you guys think.
Well, you know, you're going down a road. Now you're starting to anger me.
I don't care. And you guys think you're giving Allison Camerata a break by, what'd you call it?
By the sex act.
The sex act.
That's right. The sex act. So. Because I'm 5'5", what you forget is I'm wealthy. Because Roger Ailes is a lump of just objectionable and possibly indescribable monster flesh, whatever it is, but he's wealthy.
And okay, so both you guys are wealthy, so Allison Camerata would just be grateful as hell to have the sex act with you.
I'm trying to keep it as clean as I can. That's all I'm trying to do.
All right, well, we're going to go to some phone calls here. And it's interesting because Bob Green is talking here about something ordinarily most people would be saying, well, seems to me that this is the use, this is the textbook description of sexual harassment.
Well, isn't it sexual harassment or sexual discrimination?
It's a lot. It's all of that stuff.
That's why I'm saying I think we need another way of looking at it. I'm Bob Green. And while I'm only 5'4", I have money and I run the entire operation. Same thing goes with Roger Ailes.
And even though he's a lump of...
All right, say it.
He's a lump of donut oil. And that guy sits there. I don't know.
And we'll go to a phone call here and see who we got. We've got Marilyn here on our newsmaker line. Marilyn, hi, you're on with Bob Green. This is Bob Green Today. Good to talk with you, Marilyn.
Oh, hello. I'm Marilyn Donnelly. I am a transgender, and I've begun working in a newsroom in the New York area. Matter of fact, I'm on my way to work right now.
You're transgender.
That is correct, yes. But I am also subject to the exact same pressures that other women are subject to.
When you say other women, you identify as a female.
Yes, I do.
Now, that's interesting.
Well, Mr. Green, what I'm hearing here from you is a man who doesn't understand the fact that any woman that had sex with you, do you remember when Japan was bombed by the atomic bomb?
No, ma'am, I don't remember that. I wasn't even born.
All right, well, that's fine. But they were. Two atom bombs were dropped on Japan.
I know that part.
All right. The Emperor of Japan told people it's time to endure the unendurable. Well, I say that that's what any woman says to herself before she has to get her clothes off with you or Roger Ailes.
Is that right? Well, you know what? I would tell you this. You're a transgender. What, you know, I'd pay as much money as I possibly could to not have to even meet you. Because...
Well, if you met me, what would be the problem?
First of all, I may have to have sex with you.
Why?
What if you want to have sex with me?
I just got telling you, having sex with you would be like enduring radiation burns. So...
All right, so
If I'm reading you right, if you're reading her right, she thinks you're a swine for saying the things you've said.
Thank you, General. That's exactly it.
I don't see it.
You are the dumbest mother...
I just didn't see that.
You didn't see what she was trying to say.
I heard, but I didn't process. I think what she was saying was she didn't agree.
She said that you sound like the biggest piece of dung in the history of the world, and so to have sex with you would be like being a member of the Japanese population when the A-bomb was dropped. The A-bomb!
I don't understand.
You know what the A-bomb is?
Yes, I know what the A-bomb is.
All right. That's what she's saying.
All right, well, this is Bob Green today here, and my name is Bob Green. With me is General Galen Shaw. I thought we were actually trying to have a conversation here about something that's, I think, very, very important, and that is employment relations at work. We're talking about Gretchen Carlson and Allison Camerota and all those women at Fox.
Now, the Allison Camerota news just came out this weekend where she claimed to have been sexually harassed by Roger Ailes.
And I'm saying that when you think of Allison Camerota...
No, I will not have you insult that girl.
Oh, well, excuse me. I mean...
Well, General, all right.
Then let me just say, Roger Ailes might have been doing some of them a favor by having sex with them.
Jesus.
Bob Green today on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, guys, it's Phil Hendry. Now, you know that the bar fight showdown is underway at facebook.com/PhilHendryFans. It is there that you can vote for your favorite pugilist in this week's bar fight. Last week's bar fight was won by Margaret Gray, 79%, over Bobby Dooley at 21%. And the winner of a Bobby Dooley download, ironically, was Martine Jackson of Salt Lake City, Utah. And she was the individual who wrote her phrase, I think, was fantastic, Margaret.
Well, she said that Margaret's gone through the phone, Bobby hasn't. I love that, Martine. Thank you.
Right. She said that she knows that Margaret had been through the phone.
Yeah, what I just said.
I know, and Bobby hasn't. So Martine was our winner. Now, you can win, too, by placing a comment there in our bar fight showdown section. So you vote, then you tell us why you voted the way you voted, and then you await to win prizes, right? That's all there is to it. Bar fight number two is underway between Jeff Dowder and Ted Bell. So all you do is vote, make your argument, and then wait and see what happens, man, and maybe you will win some prizes too. It's bar fight number two, the bar fight showdown, round one, baby, over at facebook.com/PhilHendryFans.
This is Bob Green today, and I'm Bob Green on this Monday. And again, we want to emphasize that when you hear this music by Ennio Morricone from the Great Spaghetti Westerns, the message should be clear. Bob Green is on his way.
Bob Green's on his way. He just called. What are you looking at me like that for?
This is not some comedy show.
Well, I know that. I mean, that's obvious.
No. Seriously, General, we're not trying to do shtick, and you're... Every time I'm...
Hey, look, Bob, look, can I tell you something?
I don't want to have an argument about it.
Bob... Nobody is listening to this music and thinking Bob Green is coming into town.
Okay, General, that's your opinion. Bob Green's on his way. That's all I... And a very, very pleasant good morning or good day to you folks. Awfully good of you to be with us. Yeah, so we were talking here about Roger Ailes and the ongoing sexual harassment problems at Fox. Then you have Bill O'Reilly. And Bill O'Reilly is a different ball game there. Bill O'Reilly is a big, tall, powerful man. A man of a great skill, great journalistic skill, a real original. Everybody, you know, no matter who you talk to, they'll tell you, Bill O'Reilly knows what he's doing.
Well, there's no question that he was the number one journalist there. He was the number one draw of Fox Television or Fox News. But it came out that he had sexually harassed a number of women to the tune of $13 million. And now he's out
and I believe they'll be replacing him with Tucker Carlson.
All right, now let's talk about that for a minute. When you look at Tucker Carlson with the boyish face and the little boyish smile, he's a handsome young man. He used to wear a bow tie, and someone, I don't know who, but they have my everlasting thanks, someone said, lose the bow tie, please.
Well, it might have been Fox.
I think it was, because MSNBC allowed him to wear the bow tie, and I guess he thought it was really cool looking, but no, it wasn't. It really honestly wasn't. It made you look like you were...
Like he was fruit of Islam, but it ain't going to happen because he's white.
Yeah, like he was a white guy that said, is there any shot? And they just a bunch of black guys with bow ties just going, no. And he just would shuffle off. Well, I'll be back tomorrow, and then shuffle off down the street, go to his gig at MSNBC, go and get, you know, whatever he gets for dinner, sitting alone in a bow tie.
Well, it's pathetic.
Pathetic? And I don't think there's anything in this world that's more pathetic. So then when he finally says, all right, you know, I've had it. I'll go ahead, I'll lose the bow tie. I will sacrifice the one identifying trademark that I have. I will grovel and go and work at Fox. Now, yesterday, late afternoon, Bill Wellingsley, who is writing in the Manhattan News, asked the question, the rhetorical question, did Roger Ailes or Bill O'Reilly sexually harass any men?
No, you're kidding.
No, I'm not. Now, hold on. Let's talk about this. You got a guy named Tucker Carlson working there at Fox News, and he used to have a bow tie, but now he doesn't.
Well, what are you trying to tell? You trying to tell me that they told him to take the bow tie off, or he could keep it if they had sex with him?
If they had sex with him?
Yes, do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, that's what I'm trying to say, but the way you put it, it doesn't sound like anything. It doesn't sound like the way I was thinking it. You know?
Yeah, okay, Bob. Look, what I'm saying is...
Am I the host of the show?
You're the host of the show for this day only. Here is what I'm trying to say. Tucker Carlson, if he sat in front of the television screen with a bow tie on, then I'd say it's reasonable to assume that Bill O'Reilly had some...
Yeah, that Bill O'Reilly had a forced sex act with him so Carlson could keep his bow tie.
Yeah, and that's what Carlson gave up.
Exactly. However, he doesn't have the bow tie. He has the... So he said, yes, I will take the bow tie off.
And that ruined it, the chances for... Is that what you're saying?
What is it with you anyway?
Well, is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's a theory.
Well, how about this? How about if they just said, you'll have to lose the bow tie, and he says, okay.
No, I don't think it works that. It doesn't work that simply in the broadcasting business.
Now, you would know how.
I don't. You're right, I don't. I'm a grocery store clerk. I'll give you that. Okay, I'm not a big general.
Now, Bob...
No. I'm not a big general. I'm not a big broadcaster. I'm not a big Hollywood star. I'm a grocery store guy. I go home at night, and I stink of celery and onion. That's me. That's what my... I don't have a wife, but that's what... Let's say I do have a wife. That's what my wife would smell. She'd be in the bathroom, whatever, and she'd... She'd smell...
Here, take a drink.
Thank you.
Ah, yeah.
What is that?
That's a little Gentleman Jack and water back.
She'd be in the bathroom, and she'd go, do I smell radish? And, oh, your father must be home.
Well, then you'd have to have children, too.
Yes. And I'd shuffle in, tired, looking, you know, downcast, and yet happy to be home. Well, you know all that baloney. So anyway, I don't know that much, but what I do know is this. Tucker Carlson walked into Fox News, it would appear, at the right moment, because that guy is now in Bill O'Reilly's slot.
Well, that is it exactly, Bob. And we're going to be talking here with Doug Danger. We're going to be talking here now with Doug Danger, who is our entertainment and media reporter here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, about that, as we've all been reporting, dramatic move there by Fox News to replace Bill O'Reilly and to put Tucker Carlson in there. Now, Doug, obviously the reason why Bill O'Reilly is going out isn't because they love Tucker Carlson.
No, I should say not. They're not... Tucker Carlson is no great shakes. Tucker Carlson is, I don't know what you call him. He's a good I'd say a good journeyman commentator. Every now and again, he gets a cute line off. I think he probably has his fan base. But I will tell you, the two of you gentlemen talking, that he would have been able to keep his bow tie had he gone ahead and given it up to Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly. I think what I heard, and I, you know, and again, I'm not going to disclose any sources, but what I heard, he would have had it just been Ailes. But when it was a tag team.
When it was a tag team.
That's all. Look, I'm just a reporter.
But you have that on pretty good.
I got a pretty good background on that.
Look at Doug. You know, I think it's a terrible thing to say, my sources tell me, and then you malign a man.
What do you mean malign a man? I didn't malign the man.
Yes, you did. You said that this guy would have gone ahead and taken a chance with the bow tie. What did you say?
You heard what I said. He said, my source tells me that Ailes said to him, you can keep the bow tie, but you and me together, right across the street, there's a motel, whatever the hell they got over there. I think it's a Motel 6 or a Super 8 or something.
It's Manhattan. What are the chances they've got a Motel 6 or a Super 8 across from
across from a Fox?
From the Fox News Network.
I don't know. I've seen pictures of Fox, and I thought I saw across the street a Super 8 or a Best Western, something like that. That's where Ailes, my understanding is that's where Ailes took all of them. All the women, all the men, any gender. And he'd take them over there and bend them to his will.
Yeah, bend him to his will.
Now, what happened here...
Hold on for a minute. I've been listening with great interest as you two guys have been going back and forth there, Doug. But the question wasn't answered. All right, Roger Ailes said, and Tucker Carlson said no or said yes?
Tucker Carlson said, okay, I'm willing to go that. And then Ailes said, what about a tag team? And in walked O'Reilly, who'd been listening at the door.
Who'd been listening at the door.
Wow, man. Who'd been listening at... Yeah, who'd been listening at the door?
Why is it so hard to understand? Because, first of all, I understand it. I just don't know where Danger gets off saying it. The man has impeccable sources. Is that right, Doug?
I've got some pretty unimpeachable sources, although I've got one or two that lie almost pathologically.
Well, which one is that? Is it the guy that gave you this information?
I don't remember, but I've got...
Well, I'm going to tell you this from the bottom of my heart. Before you make such an accusation, you're saying that Tucker Carlson would have given up, would have kept the bow tie had he given it up for Roger Ailes, but slow down there, General.
Yeah, slow down.
When he said, how about a tag team with O'Reilly, and you said O'Reilly then popped into the room.
Yeah, he was listening at the door, and Ailes said, how about a tag team, and Reilly went, yeah, he just leapt out.
You know, it does sound like a lot of horse dung. However, knowing these showbiz types...
Let me tell you something, Bob. You don't know the half of it. These people are degenerate from way back. This is all a big laugh to them.
Well, you know what? I don't believe you. And I know that there's no way of you proving it. And certainly there's no way of me proving that I'm right. But I think we can at least let a man have a shred of dignity there.
Why? A shred of dignity? Look, Tucker Carlson has just inherited the coveted Bill O'Reilly spot on Fox News. Okay, I think he's going to survive. And when I've got one of the most unimpeachable sources in all of news telling me that when Ailes said to Tucker Carlson, I'll let you keep the bow tie if you go across the street to the Motel 8 with me, or the Super 8 with me right now, and Carlson said, oh, and before he got out the second syllable of K, O'Reilly came leaping out from behind the bathroom door.
You're so full of shit, your eyes are brown. What do you think of that? Oh, my God.
Hey, you know what?
You know, you got to watch your language. I know what I'm doing here. I'll say it again. You're so full of shit, your eyes are brown.
Oh, yeah? Well, let me tell you something, General. I don't tell you how to shoot off guns and blow up houses or whatever the hell it is you generals do. Will you tell me how to be a reporter?
I'm telling you that what you're telling me and what he was telling me.
I'm telling both of you.
Yeah, he told me and he told me. Well, what do you mean he told me and told me? He told you and told me.
I told both of you.
That he said, I know what he said, the part with Bill O'Reilly leaping out from behind a bathroom door. Where'd you hear that?
From my source. Okay?
Take it easy there, Danger.
Well, you know, General, I'm not calling you a liar, man. I may disagree with you.
I'm not calling you a liar. I'm saying that your source is horse dung.
Wouldn't you love to know who my source is? What if I told you my source was Bill O'Reilly?
I'd think you're full of crap.
Of course you would.
Why would Bill O'Reilly tell stories on himself like that?
Maybe to keep his job. Maybe to make Tucker Carlson look like a puss. I don't know. But all I can tell you is this. When they said, how about a tag team, me and Riley, Carlson said, screw it, you can have the bow tie. He took the bow tie off, dropped it in Roger Ailes' drink, because Ailes had a whiskey sour on the desk. He dropped it in his drink and said, I'll see you at 8, you know, I'll see you then, something like that.
What does that mean, see you at 8, I'll see you then?
Well, I think he was going on the air at 8.
Well, this is, that's a crazy story.
It's a crazier story, because I don't buy any of it.
So I gather.
Well, this is Bob Green, ladies and gentlemen, on Bob Green Today, and I am the CEO of Fraser Foods, and I'm here with General Galen Schott. On the phone with me is Doug Danger, as we discuss with him Tucker Carlson taking over for Bill O'Reilly there on the Fox News, and that there was some kind of deal struck between Tucker Carlson and that guy Roger Ailes. Now, why would Ailes have anything to say about it?
Well, no, this was before.
Oh, this was just getting hired.
Yeah, this was just getting hired at Fox News. And so I'd never really understood why Carlson was not on Fox, because he seems like he's ready-made for that network. But nonetheless, when he was getting hired.
And the story goes here from Doug Danger that Carlson came in and Ailes said, you need to lose that bow tie. And Carlson said, no, I will not. And Ailes said, yes, you will. And he said, no, I will not. And Ailes said, all right. You can lose the bow tie, but you have to go across the street with me to the Super 8. And I think you know what I mean, and we're not going over there to buy postcards. And Carlson thought about it and said, okay, you know, like it was worth it. What's that mean?
What do you mean, like it was worth it? You're buying that?
I'm just quoting what the man said. And Ailes thought about it and said, how about a tag team with me and O'Reilly, and you can keep it. And that's when O'Reilly leapt out from behind a bathroom door.
You believe that?
That's what Doug Danger's telling me. And Carlson said, okay, now that I can't do. That's where he drew a line in the sand. That was his red line.
Yeah, that was his red line, yeah.
You know, the cynicism that comes out of you, General, I want to weep for the world's children, because I think you would have been a great granddad had you not gotten so bitter about Tucker Carlson and a Super 8 and some guy.
Yeah, that's it, man.
We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen. My name, Bob Green. What is this? This is called Bob Green Today. Why? Because it's important, ladies and gentlemen. It's very, very important that someone stride into the town of current issues and tell you the truth, the gunslinger of truth, me, Bob Green.
Bob Green, the gunslinger of truth. We'll be right back. My name is Terry Greer.
And what do you do, Terry?
I work as a checker, and I stock a shelves.
Terry Greer is just one of many workers here at Fraser Foods. Terry is the reason why Fraser Foods is number one in the Southwest, a top grocery chain and getting better all the time. Now, what are you doing here?
I'm putting boxes on the shelves.
And you'll be restocking this entire shelf here of Oriental food and...
That, yeah.
Now, what's this here?
Japanese.
No, none of that. No, no, no.
Okay.
What's this?
Lutefisk.
Get that out of here. All that stuff. Fraser Foods. We rely on our people so that your people can be happy. You people. You. All of you people.
Fraser Foods, since 2001.
Get a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show by visiting us at philhendryshow.com and subscribe to our website. Get a 1 month or a 1 year. And with your 1 month or 1 year subscription, you have access to over 20,000 hours of classic radio content, our current podcast, all of our video casts, as well as our special event programming like the Milwaukee Lions, and of course today's Bob Green Today podcast. Also, all of the Bobby Dooley podcasts featured on our archive page. You've never had it so good when it comes to audio comedy content on the line and online and on your line. And hang on, I'm on the line. Then at philhendryshow.com.
Ah, yes, there's nothing like the great sounds of Ennio Morricone, and that is called Una Pistola per Ringo. And you know what that means?
No, I don't know. I guess a pistol for Ringo?
Yeah, I don't know.
You were asking me.
I don't know what it means, but that sounds good to me. Bob Green and General Galen Shaw on the line with you here today as we've been discussing, well, I guess the biggest news has been Bill O'Reilly leaving Fox News and, you know, what led up to that. And that, of course, is the stuff that happened to Roger Ailes. And Allison Camerota was on CNN, where she now works, talking about when she was on the Fox and Friends show.
Well, you know, Fox and Friends is, I guess that's Trump's favorite show now.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. He's always talking on that. He's always on that show.
Yeah, Trump goes over there just because they all love to just stare at him like he's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Well, let's talk about this. You don't have a great love for Trump.
I voted for Trump.
You voted for Trump?
Yes.
And yet you're highly critical?
Yes, because this is America.
I know it's America, General, but I would think at this particular time you would be backing the president up 100%. These liberals are hanging all over him like vampire bats.
Well, you know what? A lot of the problems the president's having are self-made. He's not very clear. He's very argumentative. He loves to insult. He doesn't want to stick to the point and get right to where it, you know, down to the nitty-gritty.
All right, well, I didn't, you know, I don't want to talk about President Trump that way because I voted for him, too, and I support him. And I know he goes on Fox and Friends. And that's what we came here to insult, was Fox and Friends.
Well, we did.
Yeah, because Allison Camerota was on it. She left, but I guess it got better after she left. All right, folks, it's time now for us to talk to Art Griego. He is a retired pilot, and we had another incident in the air over the weekend that necessitated the suspension, I believe. General, you have it there?
Yes, this is an American Airlines story. They suspended a flight attendant after an altercation on Friday in which the attendant took a stroller from a woman traveling with two young children and then argued with other passengers. The episode was captured in part on video. Now, this encounter...
Can I see that? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to grab it out of your hands. Just want to... I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry. Because I'm the host.
Yeah, you're the host. But even as the host, you don't get to...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You like that?
May I have that back, please?
I'm reading it.
May I have it back, please?
I'm reading it.
There, I got it. What an asshole.
You did it.
No, you tore the gun.
Let's take a break.
What an asshole.
We're back here on Bob Green Today.
I got it. Would you turn that guy down, please? As the general was saying, a flight attendant had an altercation on a flight now, or just before. It was at San Francisco International Airport. I guess it was before. It occurred while the woman was boarding a Texas-bound flight. She had her stroller taken from her. She was traveling with two young children. And then the flight attendant also argued with other passengers. The flight attendant, whose name was not released by the airline, grabbed the stroller from the woman, who was carrying 15-month-old twins, a passenger nearby said. Now, I can't read the entire story, because part of it was ripped.
Yes, I didn't do it, though.
Yes, you did.
No, I did not do that. You did that.
A video that circulated on social media showed the attendant nearly coming to blows with another passenger who threatened him after the altercation with the woman. What we see on this video does not reflect our value. Was this a female or a male?
It sounded to me like it was a female flight attendant, but it could have been.
So it is, I believe, a male flight attendant. What we see in this video does not reflect our values or how we care for our customers, the airline said in a statement. The actions of our team member captured here do not reflect patience or empathy, the values necessary for customer care. Boy, they really want to make it sound like they give a damn, don't they?
Well, I mean, yes, they're trying to protect the image of the company.
Yeah, and you know and I know that these companies, American Airlines, United Airlines, you get up in the air and they have you captive. And so they really don't have to be polite to you at all, because if you don't like it, what are you going to do? You're going to get out and walk? I don't think so. See?
Yeah, well, Bob, theoretically, that's nice, but you want return business.
Now, if I was the captain on that plane, I'd say, you don't like it? Get out and walk. And I would point out the window, and the only thing that would be out there would be clouds.
And you think that's funny?
I think it's funny to a degree, yeah. But I tell you what we'll do, folks. You don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to take the general's word for it. You don't take anybody's word for it. We'll talk to Art Griego, who's a retired pilot, but flew for some 20 years as a commercial pilot, and he's on the line with us here. And Art, many times you've been on the program with Phil and the guys, and you've talked about an awful lot of stuff you guys have dealt with as pilots up in the air. And generally, you take a pretty hard line on this, don't you?
Oh, I think you have to. Bob, and General, how are you?
I'm good, Art. Good to talk to you.
I think you have to, but well, I've always said that, like you, I am the captain of the ship, and what I say goes. And the only reason why I do what I do or say what I say is so that we can get that bird in the air and somehow, with the help of God, get it to this place that they told me to take it to. Because every time...
Now, you're... Excuse me, but can he finish what he's saying?
No, but you always say that you're scared of flying.
Every time you get into an aircraft as a pilot, you ask God, please, get everybody in their seats, get them all to just shut up, and can we just get it to this... They told me I got to go to Houston or someplace. I don't know where it is. I wouldn't know Houston, you know, if it was gold-plated. But I'll do what I got to do.
You're telling me... You never heard this. No, you're telling me that you're praying to... You know how to fly, right?
I know how to fly an aircraft, but I don't really know why it does what it does. No pilot knows that. Yes, we have theories, but I know how to fly the plane. I get it off the ground, and from that point forward, I am saying, you know, I don't know if there's a God. I guess I've been a bad person in my life, and to this day, I'm not sure there's a God. I sure as hell don't pray to you, but I'm praying to you now, because they told me to take this bird and to lay it down in some place called, and of course I know that I'm Chicago, but they said to take this bird and lay it down in Chicago. Oh, God.
And you're in that kind of a panic.
Yeah, that's what he's been telling us now for 5 years.
You don't understand. You don't understand.
I understand perfectly. I've seen a lot of guys fly planes, and they're very relaxed.
Oh, yeah? Have you seen them fly planes with 300 people on board? Yeah. I don't think so.
I've seen private pilots.
Flying a private plane is like riding a tricycle in a driveway. Big deal. Flying an aircraft with 300 souls on board that you've got to take from L.A., to where? Let's say Detroit. Do you know how weird that is? Do you know how daunting that is? Do you know what that does to a man when he hears the person that tells them where to go? I forget what he's called.
Air traffic control?
Not air traffic control. No, they're the ones that tell you where to go when you're in the air. But on the ground, it's like a schedule guy. But they'll say, okay, you got to go to Detroit. And you'll go, you just go, why? And they'll go, ha, 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 ha. Like that.
What? Well, who did you work for?
I'm not at liberty.
We told Art that we would not mention the airline, otherwise he'd be obviously in big trouble.
Yeah, because you'd probably be sued for telling a lot of tales.
Oh, I see. Is that right? So you know all about it?
Well, I'm saying it with the greatest of respect, Art, because I know you're a longtime pilot. This sounds absolutely ridiculous.
Well, believe it, friend. Believe it. And you get that plane in the air, and you're pouring sweat. Your face is soaked. You look like you look like William Shatner with the gremlin, the whole thing. And then the flight attendant comes in and will say, would you like some coffee? And you shoot 5 feet in the air. You go, oh, God! You do, you know.
You get very frightened.
Yeah, because you're sitting there holding onto the wheel, and you're hoping.
You mean the yoke?
Yeah, the yoke. Who knows what it's called? I never gave much of a damn. When they taught me how to fly, they said, that's the yoke. And I said, guess what? It's a steering wheel as far.
Well, we're talking here with Art Griego, who's very emotional. And I don't know whether this...
I think it's a very interesting conversation, Art, if you could go on.
I can go on, but I had no idea we're going to talk about this. This flight attendants and passengers. I got to tell you something. Passengers are the number one reason... Why, if you ever look up in the sky and you see a ball of fire heading toward the horizon and you go, oh, that's an aircraft, rest assured, there's a passenger inside of that still, even though it's on fire and plummeting to earth, still screaming at a flight attendant for peanuts and an in-flight magazine.
You know, Grant...
Yeah, I know, I'm nuts. I know you never believe anything I say.
No, I believe a lot of things you say. But you and Danger... And the other ass that we had on,
that was Marilyn Donnelly.
Oh, Donnelly, yeah, the transgender.
Oh, well, it's one big happy family, isn't it?
Oh, I know a lot of these people.
You guys have concocted a trio of tales that would rival anything the Grimm's brothers ever came up with, high as they might have been on their opium or their cheeses.
Well, I think that's a terrible thing to say about the Grimm brothers or whoever the hell they were. But who are the Grimm brothers?
They did the cough drops.
What do you mean, the cough drops? They did God Jesus.
Oh, yeah, those are the fairy tales.
Oh, the Grimm's brothers, yeah. Well, is that what their name was?
I think so, yeah.
So we're talking here with our... So can we just get out of this show?
I'm telling you, and I believe that this is a fair statement to make, and I hope that I'm not making it in vain, but I am telling you that ultimately the most important thing that you can do as a pilot is to hang on to that wheel, pray to whatever pig god you... I don't know. I mean...
What do you mean, pig god?
I don't know what any pilot worships. I don't want to limit it to Christianity or Buddhism or Islam or any of that. I just want to tell you that whatever you believe in, and you get up in the air and you're holding onto the steering wheel of that plane, and you're praying to whatever milk bottle god, who knows, and they told you, you go to Detroit with that, and you got to put that thing on there. And every time you make it, and you land it, and you're pouring sweat, and they open the door, they go, hey, you go, where are we? And they'll say, Detroit. And you'll say, thank you, God. I remember falling on my knees and hugging the ankles of one of the ground crew in Detroit. And he said, what is the story? And I said, thank you, thank you, thank you.
You need a vacation, man. You need a psychiatric workup and a vacation.
Oh, okay. Thanks a lot, Doc.
No, you really do. And I would recommend, I wouldn't want to be on a plane with you flying it.
You wouldn't want to be on a plane with me flying? Oh, my God. You know what? I'm the safest pilot that there ever was.
I would not want to be on any aircraft that you piloted.
So you're stupid. In other words, you're saying, hi, I'm stupid?
If that's what that says, then yes.
Okay, hi. Well, that's great, Bob. So you're stupid.
Right, because I don't want to be on any plane that you're flying.
All right, so you're stupid.
Because I don't want to be on any plane that you're flying.
Will you guys knock it off?
You heard what he said.
I heard what he said. It doesn't make any difference.
I'm going to tell you right now, any pilot that wept like a grandmother and hugged what'd you do with you? Hugged the guy's leg?
I hugged his ankles. All right, I wasn't hugging his leg.
You hugged the guy's leg when you landed and said, oh, thank God, because you don't know how to fly a plane.
It is. It's a very weird tale, Art, but you have told it before. And while I know you to be a very responsible man, and I'm committed to safe air travel, as we all are, it does beg one's credulity and so forth.
Well, General, I don't stutter, as you like to say. I don't lie. And I put my pants on one leg at a time in the morning, and I wear my underwear with the, you know, the pee hole in the back, just like everybody else.
With the pee hole in the...
I'm sorry, I meant in the front. Hello?
Yeah, we're waiting.
I would just say that, you know, we all fly aircraft different. For every man, there's a different way of flying an airplane. Some guys, you know, not literally, but some guys in their minds are flying it upside down.
Well, it's another program here on the Phil Henry Show, where we make people feel real confident about flying.
Let me tell you, I feel, this is Bob Green today, so I'm making people feel confident flying by saying this. Ladies and gentlemen, American Airlines, United Airlines, Delta, we have great airlines in this country, the world's best. We have the most dedicated crews and the most comfortable air travel. Don't let one or two incidences cause you to sour you on air travel in America. It is still, you get a bang for your buck like you don't get in any other kind of travel. And if you see a flight attendant arguing and trying to pull a stroller away from someone, what advice would you give them, Art?
If you see a flight attendant arguing with a passenger, I would go up and tell the passenger to sit down, because now it's, you know, you're on the side of the flight attendant and whatever it's going to take. And that'll get them to...
Oh, I see. So you automatically take the flight attendant's part.
Yes. No, let's take the passenger side and have a full-on melee brawl in the aircraft while we're at 40,000 feet. And then you know what's next? Here. This is what's next. I don't have it, but this is what's next. Mayday, mayday. Okay?
You know, you really are sick.
Mayday, mayday. That's what's next. So you go ahead and have...
Thank you very much.
I'd appreciate it. Let me hang up on them. I'm Bob Green.
Yeah, I know you're Bob Green. I'm going to ask Henry to take me off of this co-hosting duty because I don't think it's fair.
Well, let's get down to it before we leave it. You know, I was supposed to co-host the Saturday Cinema with you.
That's right.
And you told me to get lost
because you were bugging me with your idiotic observations. We had a very important film, The Hitchhiker, directed by Ida Lupino.
Ooh.
See, that's right there. That's what I'm talking about. When I told you that, one of the few female directors in Hollywood in the 50s...
Woo!
How'd you like me to clock you?
That would be your speed. You'd hit me. You'd physically assault me because I happen to disagree with you.
Not because you disagree. You're going, woo!
I don't think I did that.
Never mind. Ladies and gentlemen...
I'll do it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us on today's Bob Green Today. Or you might say, for joining us on Bob Green Today. Or we could say,
joining us on today's Bob Green Show. And we certainly hope that you will join us again the next time Phil Hendry makes the mistake of having Bob Green host one of these shows. Goodbye, everyone.
See you later, folks.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, executive produced by Phil Hendry, presents Bob Green Today. A presentation of Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.